No. We're finishing the perek. No, I'm flying tonight. We are finishing the perek. Okay. Okay. So we were up to at Eimatai Nikru Nitiot. Okay. So as we have seen before, Nitiot have their own halacha. What are their halacha in Tosefet Shviyah? They have halacha Moshe Misinai. That Nitiot, you can. If 10 of them are in a field, right, you have a chumra that you need 10 for it to be considered an orchard. The kula is you get to Rosh Hashanah. Good. Is kena? Even three that produces, however, all we did that, 16th of the tzitzit. But it's only until, exactly, yeah. Right? The shnei prakim. Yeah. Okay? So, ad ematai nikru nitiyo. So the Gemara says, mahu ad she yachulu. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, until they become profane. So ad she yipadu, o ad she yasu chulin. Me aleihen, and so Rabbi Abba Bar Yaakov, Hashem Rabbi Yochanan, Kima Din Ashiyasu Chulin Me Aleihen. Right. So good. So good. So the like I said, the majority of Mefarshim read these lines as Ad Sheyachulu means until you could redeem them, meaning until year four. That's the second one. Achi padu, until they are redeemed, is the second line. Achi azuchulin is year five. Achi padu is year four.
Until the year that you
could redeem them. Right, exactly. Majority of the Mefarshim assume that it's the year you could redeem them, or the year in which you no longer need to, and they become chulin by themselves. Year four, year five. Right, and again, what's the logic behind that? No, it does not fit with the words that well. Ad she yipadu. What is the simple words of ad she yipadu mean?
Until
you redeem them. Right? Not until you are capable of redeeming them, until you redeem them. Right? Why does everyone except for the Rambam protest against that pshat? Again, we talked about this last week, but let's review it. Right? Why does everyone else say that the machloket here is year four, year five? Right, I mean, what's a kashur? What does it have to do with anything? Meaning, if, right, the simple shot is if a tree is considered a sapling for a certain number of years, so that could be year one, it could be year three, it could be year five, it could be 10, I don't know, whatever it is, but who cares whether I redeem it, I don't redeem it, right? You can have a machloket, is it year four or year five, right? But there's no, at first glance, there's no reason to say it's when you redeem it or not, right? I mean, Makashu redeeming it, right? And that's how most Mefarshim understand it. And then they read it as an answer. Achichol, my hand, you're five, right? When they become chulin. However, as we noted last time, that the Rambam does not understand it this way. How does the Rambam understand it? Remember?
It's like it changes your...
Right, so the Rambam in Perush Mishnayot says, Achi padu. Right? It's not, these aren't machloket, it's you have two possibilities. If you redeem it, so then it's in the fourth year, and if you don't redeem it,
then
the fifth year you redeem it. Very good. Now, again, there are a lot of dionim in the Yacharon about this. There's one which I particularly am not fond of, even though I normally am very fond of him, but here there is a treatment of it in the Torah Zrahim, which I just do not think is correct. Right? I mean, he makes a point that whatever, you know, it's complicated. I don't think it's pshat. If you are interested in it, you can read it. I mean, he's normally excellent. I'm from Pomeranchik. He was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He died when he was in his 30s. He wrote two Svarim, one on Zrayim and one on Bracha.
In the 30s or in his 30s?
In his 30s.
Oh.
In his 30s. He died like 36, wow. 38, something like that. Very, very good usually. This one I just did not find compelling. But as we noted, right, that the at least the shittot I think that are more compelling, which you have in like the Rashash and some other Achronim variations on a theme, is that the point is like this. By year five, it's definitely an old tree. Before year four, it's definitely a new tree. Year four is ala gvul. And basically, this isn't a, right, as we said, there's in Hebrew often this chakira will be called siman or siba. In English, we would translate as causation versus correlation, right? Meaning, is it that actually there's a difference between something as kadosh or not kadosh? Or do you say, and this is how the Rosh Hashanah understands it, that no, it's not a siman, it's a siba. In year four, if I want to eat it, what do I have to do? I have to either bring it to Yerushalayim or redeem it and bring the money to Yerushalayim. Which, if the tree produces a lot of healthy, big fruit, then it's worth doing that. And if it doesn't, it's not. And therefore, the Rosh Hashanah says, what does the Rambam mean? He doesn't mean because it's in year four, if I redeem it, so then it becomes chayev because of like some magic, it's kadosh, not kadosh. That's not the point. The point is that if I redeem it in year four, that shows that it's producing enough fruit that this is no longer a sapling. It's a tree. And if I choose to just let it die on the tree, because lo shaveh to schlep this to Yerushalayim or redeem it, that shows that it's still more on the sapling side. Right? It's a siman, not a siba. It's a, right? This correlates to the productivity of the tree rather than this being the rationale in and of itself, right? That's how the Rosh Hashanah more or less understands the Rambam. Again, the others say, no, the Rambam means exactly what he says. There's a difference between whether it's kadosh or chulin. The Rambam and Pomeranchik does take this direction. And he thinks it depends on whether you're capable of redeeming it while it's still attached to the ground, right? Why is this important? There's a machloket, whether you're allowed to redeem fruit when they're still attached to the ground. He says, obviously, this shita, if you hold that it could be redeemed, then it must be going according to the shita that you're allowed to redeem it while it's attached to the ground, because that's when it's still relevant to determine the type of tree it is, while it's attached to the ground, right? If I cut down the fruit and later on decide to redeem them, right, that can't possibly affect the definition of the tree, because the fruit are now severed from the tree. But then he has a problem, which is the Rambam doesn't paskin that way. So he's using a shita that the Rambam doesn't paskin like to explain the Rambam. So it gets very complicated. Okay, that is, I think, the easier of the answers. The next line in the Gemara is V'atya ke Rebbe or Rebbe Yoshua. Right, there are different girsaot. Kid ditani, because the Braisa says that Rebbe or Rebbe Yeshua Omer af. That there are some trees when they become a nitiya until you're five, some until you're six, and some until you're seven. Ella, but it's not dependent on each tree. What is it dependent on? Ella, bigfanim binot chamesh, b'te'enim binot sheish, b'zeitim binot sheva. By grapes, they become considered mature by year five, by figs they become at year six, and olives at year seven. Okay, different trees become, right, old at different points. Produce enough to be old and not a sapling at different points.
Good.
So now, what's the problem? So you tell me what's going on here. What does it mean, Atya? Who, Atya, what, right? Who is this going like? What are we talking about?
I thought it was saying, means like it's going back to what was originally said.
Good, so tell me how that could be doing it.
Well, Rabbi Yochanan said it's as soon as you take hold off it.
Good, so in what way is this going on the previous line?
So you'd have to say that this is when each of them become.
So, well, you tell me the possibility. How, right? What do we have? We had the Gemara asked, is it year four? You're five. Achipatu, achiacholu. And then the Gemara says, and this goes like the Shito says, five, six, seven. Okay. In what way is that going back on the Shito?
Well, you have to say it can't just be year four and year five. That's something.
So one possibility is to say that you have to make an ukimta, that the first stage of the Gemara was only talking about kfanim, which are year five. Right, or some of the girsot, or in some places the girsa switched, right? And the
I thought it was saying that each of them have different times.
Correct, and therefore, in what sense is it atya ke? You would have to say that the first day on the Gemara, the first stage of the Gemara that said you're four, you're five, maskana, you're five, is only talking about grapes, or Pnei Moshe apparently had the girsa flipped, right, where olives are five, but whatever fruit is your five. right? And therefore, the way you read the Gemara is, the first, right, the Gemara asked, is it year four or year five? Only for those fruits, grapes, let's say, where, right, they're year five. Answer, Ache Yecholu, which means year five. Right, so you'd have to make it, to make it a kimta, right? But that's how the Pnei Moshe takes it. Look, though, at the Rosh Cirilio. The Rosh Cirilio also deals with this problem. And he says, Klomar, Af al gav damin mishmei der bishua chamesh v'sheish v'shev ha-shanim g'detanya v'tosefta. Even though what? The Braita doesn't say you're five. What does it say? Five, six, or seven. Which is not what the Gemara had just said, which was? Five, right? Four or five. Rabbi Shua omar bat chamesh v'sheva v'sheva stam. Lo tem bilan echad hainu gefen shaychi kulhu. This is how you read it. Right, so at first he says exactly Pnei Moshe. What it's saying is, listen, grapes, you're five. That's all it's saying. There are other ones that it takes longer for them to become developed enough to be a zakein. And then, if you remember in the Mishnah, it said, Rabbi Shua said 7 years. So what comes out according to this? There's no machloket. Right? The Mishnah, it's not a machloket. They're just saying there are some which are five, there's some which are seven. And the Braita comes and clarifies what's five, what's six, what's seven. Right? That's his first shita, right? There is no machloket. What the Gemara is coming to tell you is that the Mishnah, which says Archi Cholu, and Rabbi Shua says you're seven, it's all one shita, right? Which is some trees are five, like Fanim, some are year six, and some are year seven. And when he said seven, he just meant there are trees that are year seven. Yes, Kobe.
It says the Asher Kerev Yeshua, which implies that the Mishnah is coming to be the exact same thing.
Exactly. And that's where he gets it from. What's it, right? Ah, very good. Unless, see, in the Bavli, See, in the Bavli, if someone said, well, it would be very hard to say something unless you had a different girsa, that usually means, well, say what's simple. In the Yerushalmi, when you say, it would be hard to say something unless there was another girsa, what? Of course there's another girsa. What are you talking about? If you just look at the article, you'll see how many parentheses and brackets and whatever going on. Yes, very good. And that's why the Rosh Cirilio in his second answer says, the Rizal perish, the Rebbe Palik ad Rishua. No, they're arguing. Dechi kamar shevash anem begefen kamar adkan, demash malay dekai ichule. Your turn achosh lo pligi. Right, so the second possibility is, you have to change the girsa such that what do you end up with? The girsa in the Gemara is Rebbe. So Rebbe Yeshua says, all trees, at what point did it become defined as K-note? Year 7. And Rebbe holds that it's 5, 6, 7, depending on the tree. And the Gemara is like Rebbe, not like Rebbe Yeshua. Right? So one Shita is that there's only one day on the whole, right? There's one series of dayot in the Mishnah, which basically said that there's a range in which trees could become old, 5, 6, or 7. And no one here is arguing. Or, no, Rabbi Shua says all trees 7, Rebbe holds 5, 6, 7, and the third daya, which everyone agrees is a different daya, is Rabbi Kiva, who says, Nitya ke Shema.
Wait, what would the actual verse
be? Rebbe. It would be Rebbe.
Like, how would you read it?
Vatya ke Rebbe. But this is Rebbe against Rabbi Shua in the Mishnah.
Rebbe. Rebbe. Also.
Yep. In the Mishnah. Remember, go back to the Mishnah. The Rishua had said, Ba'sheva Shanim. Right? Our Mishnah says 7. Right? So now you got to figure out, is that 7 equivalent to the 7 in the Braita? Or is it a different 7? Meaning, is it a 7 contingent on it being olives? Or is it a 7 not contingent, in which case it's different than the Braita? Right? Correct. And according to the first day in the Bnei Moshe and the Rash Tzurilio, it's not a machloket. It's saying Rabbi Yeshua is clarifying and saying not all things are seven, but there are things which have seven, like the Braita. The second day, that of the Ri, says no. Rabbi Yeshua holds everything a seven, and the Tanakama. No, you have to change the gears in the Braita.
No, because...
You have to change gears in the Braita.
No, that's the naked argument
for Yeshua. Right. You don't have to change the gears in the... Right? Everyone agrees in the... Here, everyone agrees in the Mishnah. Everyone agrees in the Mishnah that Rebbe Yeshua holds seven. The question is, does he mean seven across the board, in which case he's arguing on our Gemara, which is following the Braita, which is five for grapes, six for figs, and seven for olives? Or... is the two dead in the Gemara, Achi Acholu, and Sheva giving you the range. That there are some things here five, like grapes, and Rabbi Yeshua says, by the way, there are also things seven, and all of those are one Shita.
Okay, I just think like the way he writes the Mishnah seems like he's arguing.
Yes. That is the simple pshat. But the Rash Tzurilio and the Pnei Moshe in their first day are saying he's not arguing, he's giving you the upper range.
So I'm just saying they wouldn't have to change the gears in the Mishnah. They could still...
Correct. They all keep the gears in the Mishnah that there are two positions, Achi Acholu, right? Basically, according to them, the Mishnah says Achi Acholu, which the Gemara then says is that year four or year five, right? According to the Rambam, year four or year five, like we poskin both, depending on whether you redeem it, okay? Rabbi Shua says seven. So the question are these different Shitot, meaning Achi Acholu is part of a Shita that says five, six, or seven, and Rabbi Yeshua says everything is seven, and then Rabbi Kiva says Netiyah Kishma, right? Or is it that Rabbi Yeshua is giving the upper limit, right? Achi Acholu is the lower limit, and therefore they're not arguing, but the Chachamim Rabbi Kiva is arguing. We haven't talked about Rabbi Kiva yet. Right, because he's the next line in the Mishnah. Right?
No, but it seems like
the simple pshat in the Mishnah is there are three positions here. I agree with you, like three. I agree with you. Simple pshat, if you have the proper gear sewed, is that there are three positions. There's Rabbi Yeshua says everything is seven. The Tanakama, which is clarified by the Yerushalmi, is four, five, six, or seven. Right? The Maskana. And Rabbi Kiva says Netiyah Kishma. Right? Now, what is Netiyah? Yeah, exactly. Okay. Very good. Exactly. Now, right, and the Gro has yet another Girsa where his Girsa is Rabbi Lozer ben Azaria. Lozer ben Azaria. Fine. The last sheet in the Mishnah, remind me, was Netiyah Kishma. Right? So what's Netiyah Kishma? What does that mean? So there are two possibilities. Good. Someone tell me, what are the two possible ways of understanding that something is called a young fruit? Kishma. As long as that is its name. What are the two lamdish possibilities there? Kobe. One is that it's subjective, right? This is another hakira. You've probably heard Rambam, guys. Where's Rambam, guys? Oh, none of you are Rambam. Whoa. How'd that happen? Right?
They all went to the fruit.
Well, you only had one. We had Moshe, right? But, okay, classically in Rama, Rafferim would always do this. Objective or subjective, right? So, one possibility is that Tiyah Kishma means that it is subjective, right? A tree is young as long as people relate to it as young, right? So, you know, 40 is the new 20. If people look at you and say, hey, you look so young, right? Right, that's one possibility, right? Young is subjective. What's the other possibility?
That is how the tree looks. It's how old the tree is.
And therefore, but how do you read the words Netiyah Kishma? Netiyah, as it is called.
It's called an age.
Meaning that there is an age at which people call it, right? Yes, object or subjective. Meaning is it saying? Well, because it doesn't necessarily have to be that year, right? It could be a different age. Right, so if you look at the Beresh Mishnayot, you'll see this, where The Rosh says, Nitiyah Kishma means Bat Shnata. 1 year. 1 year old is young. More than that is old. That's it. He says it's objective. Bat Shnata isn't, it's like well known. People call things Nitiyah for 1 year. And that's what it means. As opposed to the Rambam who says, the Rambam says, no, it's subjective. As long as people still call this tree young. When they start calling it old, it's old. It's a subjective sliding scale.
It's like how
yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. There's always this tendency in law, right? Some people will say there's like a sort of a common law approach to this, right? And then there's a formalized approach to it, right? Right? I mean,
nobody's going to agree on when this tree suddenly becomes old.
Everyone has a different view on when.
He says the minhag, whatever.
What does that mean, a minhag? Everybody has a different view.
I don't know. People look, I don't know. That's not true. At some point, we'll agree. Like
at some point, when it's a certain age. Or
yeah, exactly. And that sliding scale.
It doesn't mean people have to argue about it, but it means that people have different opinions between. Like, everyone could agree. But
correct, and you're right. Look, see, this is the problem. Is Achronim all think like Josh, which is, oi, subjective sliding scales. That's not how law works, right? Sometimes it is.
When did I ever say that?
A lot! Unless you're brought up only on a diet of Achronim, right? In which case, you're not. Let me give you an example, okay? Let me give you an example, right? It's your favorite example in the entire universe. You've brought it up like 78 times since the beginning of the year, okay? What is your favorite example that you have said so many times to me on multiple sugyot? Reb Meir, Choshishin Lemiut, right? Right? So there is a halacha, right, called Miut. Right? And in general, we have two types of categories. We have miut hamatsui and miut she'eno matsui. Right? What's the difference? So something which is a minority, but is a not so uncommon minority. So then the halacha is choshershin. Right? And miut she'eno matsui, ein choshershin. Right? So very common example of this, Mordechai, is bugs and vegetables. Right? The halacha is pretty clear. There's vegetables, fruit can have different standards. One standard is muhzak v'tolayim. What's muhzak v'tolayim? There's always bugs. Always bugs. What's the halacha of something there's only always bugs? You can't eat it. Well, you can't eat it if you can't get those bugs out, and if you can manage to check it, right, like piece, grain by grain or whatever. Yeah, there's certain things that are just like that. It's impossible, apparently. Or like really, really hard. Okay? I'm not telling you what vegetables go in it. I'm just telling you, in theory, the principle. Right? See, this is the thing with vegetables and fruits. Everyone agrees fundamentally on the principles, more or less. The question is application. All the way to the other extreme is miyut she'eno matsui. What's the halacha of miyut she'eno matsui? You don't even have to check. Right? What's the halacha with miyut hamatsui? You have to check. But you're allowed to eat it. Right? Good. What is a miyut hamatsui? So, some people are medayik in the Rivash that miyut hamatsui is 49%, right? Anything up to, right, 49%, okay? Some people will quote Mishkanot Yaakov, 10%, right? Some people will quote Vosner, I think it is. Vosner, 4%, right?
Where did that come from?
Oh, very good. Where does it come from? Rav Asher Weiss says, stopping is achronish, right? Miyut hamatsui is
what people think it is.
Yeah, here's miyut hamatsui. This is how you know whether something's miyut hamatsui. If I'm checking the vegetable and I see a bug and I say, wow, that's surprising, that's miyut she'eno matsui. And if I say, not so surprising, then it's miyut hamatsui. What does matsui mean? Matsui means, is it found? If it's surprising, then it's not usually found. And if it's not surprising, then it's found. Right? Now, as I said, Josh doesn't like it because he's brought up on a diet of Achronim where it's like, okay, give me a percentage. Give me a percentage. It's 4.6% of spoonfuls. I mean, like. And yes, by the way, there is a secondary machloket, which is when we say 4%. 4% of what? Of wholesale?
Yeah.
Of. Oh, very good. And that's why I personally hold a Rosh Weiss, which is stop giving me headaches. Miyano Matsui doesn't surprise you. You'll tell me, well, it doesn't surprise me. Fine. So for you, you have to check. Okay? For me, it's surprising. It was like, look, in Israel, I don't know why, but most people, and this is like a huge thing, sift all their flour. Because they're like, it's a miyut hamatsui of bugs. And when I was in the Kollel, living in Gush, I like did that. It was a pain in the neck. And at some point, I was like, look, I've been a rabbi for multiple years. People ask me shilas. I know the halachot. I have never, ever, ever seen a bug in all the years of the flour. It is not a miyut hamatsui. It is not miyut hamatsui. I will paskin for myself. I am tired of this, right? It's like, I can paskin this for myself, right? Yeah, tell me about it. No, here's the thing with flour. This is my opinion with flour in Israel. Is there are two options. Either there are zero bugs, or it's infested lechalutin, and you don't need to look. You will see things crawling, right? To check, you have to find the very rare situation in which it is not infested, but there is a bug that you will find if you check. That has never happened to me in my entire life. Okay? Ever. Okay. So, therefore, I didn't do what Josh wanted me to do, is Josh would tell me, you can't do that, because, how do you know? Maybe you just lucked out. You have to do a statistical survey of all people who have flour, and then you got to figure out what is statistical of what store, of what that. And you know what I'll tell you? That's fine. Bahatzlacha. I'm basketing. If you're not comfortable with it, don't eat at my house. Okay? I don't care. I don't care. It's not my problem. It's not my problem.
I've never seen a buzz box. Yeah, I would think so.
Put it this way. Bidiavad, if you don't check an egg, it is obviously fine, Bisman Hase. Right? Bidiavad, post fact.
But I've heard other people have found.
Correct. I have never heard anybody. But okay.
I think I've found maybe one blood spot in all the
Okay, time. And so you look fine.
I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah, it's really not that hard. Flour, you have to put it through a freaking sifter. It's really annoying. We have a neighbor who... She's really good at making desserts, but she never baked. Bake, right? And eventually, Aura was talking to her and she said she doesn't bake because it's such a pain. She doesn't want to have to sift. She'll do anything else, right? She'll make like all those things as long as it doesn't involve flour, right? And then Aura told her, like, well, we paskin that you don't have to. She's like, really? Can I paskin? Like, I'm like, sure, you can paskin that on my. Suddenly, she's been like bringing up her cakes. And I'm like, Baruch Hashem. All my years of learning every day, I've paid off that I have helped someone else return to their passion for baking, because this is ridiculous. It's like, God, and someone's going to shoot me. Like, Israelis get very uptight about it. But like, mom, it's just crazy. It's never happened. Now, I understand. The problem is that within these standards, someone could just say to me, well, I found it. Okay, good, you're right. That's the problem with the subjective standard. Okay, but you know what? Even with the objective standards, you could have that type of machloket. Like, literally, take corn. Okay, you go in any American kashrus organization, any of them, right? American, Canadian, anybody, right? OU, COR, CRC, doesn't matter. They say, corn has no bugs. You're allowed to eat it. If you go on the Israeli ones, which are under the authority of Ravai, muchzak bitoloim, you have to cut, I kid you not, you are not allowed to eat corn on the cob. You have to cut the corns off the cob and soak them and... Look for the words. I mean, I'm like, I literally have no idea how you get from Inakadze to Alakadze. I do not understand.
If you're getting from Israel, maybe you
it could be.
Stars.
Good. And you know, when I was in the Heights, I always thought you needed a different standard for the fruit in Washington Heights and the ones on the Upper West Side. Because you go to Whole Foods on the Upper West Side, right, where it's like $8 for a single piece of asparagus in a can, in a jar, right, like organic, you know, perfumed, like asparagus, whatever, right? It probably doesn't have bugs. When you go to the random sketchy place where I bought my vegetables in the Heights, where it was three packages for a dollar, they were like muchzak b'tolaim, because like it's the Heights and it's grimy and like everything is muchzak b'tolaim. The walls are muchzak b'tolaim. And like, you know, it's like, you know, but literally in bugs, you get minakatzah l'katzah. Right? And you think objective standards helped you. No, they don't. Because like I said, Miura Matsui, of the people who give numbers, are anyone from 4% to 49%, and people have a disagreement of whether it's wholesale, like, units or spoonfuls, which means that you literally could have a shita that only if it's found in 49% of spoonfuls is it Miura Matsui, to if it's found in 1 in 25 wholesale shipments, it's a Miura Matsui. No. The answer is not always be more strict. No. Someone was asking me that on a shita, which is, why don't you just be machmir? And I said, because I think it's mutter. No! It's something else. And I just said, I don't understand. You think that everything, my default is always usur? No. The default is not everything is usur. Good God. Like, what do you eat? Like, Do you think there's anything in the world that you eat that I couldn't find a shita that says it's usur? Would you like to starve to death? I mean, honestly, I could. I could come up with shita. Easily. Even shita by, like, very important poskim.
They say it's talk about only eats bread and water, but apparently you don't have to eat bread.
Right, well, bread is problematic, right? Bread in America, you got to deal with chadash, and then you got to deal with, right, you know, pas Israel, and then, you know, you have to deal with... And if it's oats, then you have added shayla, because what bracha do you make on oats? Are oats one of the five grains, right? So no oats, right? No oats. And then, you know, and water, there was the whole machloket in like 15 years ago in New York, whether you're allowed to have water or there are bugs, are there copepods in the water? So you can only, you can't have water, you can't have bread, you can't have fruits, you can't have vegetables, right? What? No, there were people who said you couldn't have Coke because for years they didn't tell anyone what the ingredients were. They just told... Right, Chalap, the ingredients are in this room, and if all 500 of them are kosher, then it's kosher, but they didn't want to give him the secret recipe, so no one knew exactly what was in it, so there are people who wouldn't have Coke. Rav Shechter thinks that milk is, in chutzla, milk, industrial produces all treif, vadai, not safek, vadai treif, right, so all dairy, right, so, right, so what are you left eating? Meat, I mean, obviously, there are machlokot, but everything in meat, bananas, right? Oh, but maybe bananas, because they're in a thick peel. Yeah, yecholia, bananas. Okay? Bananas. Yeah, bananas. Right? But not eggplants, because eggplants are suffix arla, always, because, and so are passion fruit, because their plants never produce long enough, so they might be it, right? So it's machloget, whether you define them as perennials or not, or annuals, or...
Really?
Exactly. Right? Not long enough to produce without them being arla, right? Yeah. So what would you like to eat food? Would you like me to continue?
Well, it's not really. Some people just don't eat eggplants.
Yes. I had a chavruta who did not eat eggplants for the rest. Correct, because they're definitionally arla.
I think they taste bad.
Like God created them for
them. Yes, that is exactly what I asked my chavruta. He's like, I don't really like them, but it's a good chumra to have. Right? Would you like me to keep going? I can come up. I can answer all your food. I can, trust me. I really can. The Gemara says that miyom shecharav beis hamikdash, we should stop eating meat because they're a karbanon. And then the Gemara said, ah, well, about other things, what about fruit? Okay, so you can only have fruit which are not the shevet aminim, right? Oh, what about meat, right? What about bread? No, they were menachot, right? So you'll be limited to like corn flour. Oh, no, corn, we already said, is mochsak b'talam according to Ravai. Sorry, not corn. Potato flour. Right, but we'll paskin like the Hava Amina that the Chayadim brought up, that potatoes are kidneyot, so on Pesach you won't eat that either. Anyway, so I don't know what you'll be left with. Oh, search it again. Like, my point is, don't try to play the Chumra game, okay?
Okay, it still, it sounds better here to that it's not based on.
No, it
like
doesn't.
For farming, it's not necessarily precise.
Good. Next line, yalla. Okay, good. So the last amud here. So now the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Why do you say that te'enim, right, that figs are not considered old until year six? We have fruit that produced before year six. You're right. That it produces years fruit even earlier. He said, yeah. But something could be a nitiya, even though it produces fruit, if it's just not thick enough. Everyone looks at it and says, the trunk is not thick enough, this is still a young tree, even though it's producing, right? Okay. Now, Rov Shito to understand the Gemara the way I just read it, there is another possibility, but it is admittedly very odd. Okay? So Moshito say that pure here means pere, meaning don't you see that fig trees produce fruit before you're six? Answer, you do, but it's still a young tree because the trunk isn't thick enough, right? However, there is another shita, which the Rosh Tzurilio says, and he says, what is pure? He has a different girsa. Puraya. What is puraya? Oh, please. You know what puraya means. Very good. You know that annoying song about drinking on Purim? Yes? Right? You have to get drunk on Purim? Right? Puraya is Purim. Yeah. So, Purim. Why Purim? Yeah, exactly, right? That's what it means. That puraya means Purim, right? Meaning that it already starts producing before year six on Purim of the year before, okay? Another thing means puraya means like lefrodi lerovot, right? There are things that produce a lot, right? Bimihirut. Okay, whatever it means, yalla. Okay, last line of the perek. So the last line of the Mishnah had said that what? If you, right, ilan shenigman v'hotzi chalipin, if you cut down a tree down to the ground, and it produces new, it starts growing again, right? So, mitefach ulematan kinetia, if you cut it below a tefach, then it's considered a new tree with all the chumrot and kulot of a new tree. Mitefach ulemalan, if you cut it and leave more than a tefach, then what? Kilon, it's still an old tree. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lezar ben Yaakov, Shnehem Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lezar ben Yaakov say the same thing. The Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rabbi Yonatan ben Lezar ben Yaakov, Hagomemet Karmo Pachot Mitefach, in a different sugya, namely in Orla. In Arla, what happens if something is 5 years old and then you cut it down to the bottom? So what's the halacha? Is it, do you have to start counting a new 3 years, or is it still a 5-year-old tree? What's the halacha? So, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, if you cut it to less than a tefach, chayev ba'arla, mipnei marid ha'ayin. Your chayev arla, what's marid ayin? Because it looks like you're leaving arla, so you have to wait another 3 years. Divrei Chachamim, Achi Yago Meim Haaretz, Meim Haaretz, and the Chachamim say, only if what? Yago Meim Haaretz, you cut it all the way to the base.
You raise it to the
right. Meaning, if you cut it, if you leave a little like this much, it's still old.
So this has to be how people view it.
Ah, good. So what's So here's the last thing you got to deal with in this parak, which is, what does the Gemara mean when it says that it is echad? Well, what does it say when they're the same thing? What does that mean? Give me two possibilities. What does that mean? The Gemara says that these two shitot are ke'echad, right? Shnehem amru devar echad.
It comes out as the same thing. But they still have different ways of getting to it.
Very good. So one possibility is, upshot is these two shitot look similar, but they're not necessarily conceptually identical, right? And so why is it telling you Shneihem Amru Devar Echad?
To tell you that no matter how you look at it, it's still
made. Meaning according to you, they're not saying the same thing. Conceptually.
But even if you have a different logic, it'll still end up being the same.
Oh, you're saying the opposite. No, okay. So Kobe is saying Shneihem Amru Devar Echad means that at the end of the day, their Shitot are dependent on each other. Even if they're a little bit different conceptually, they are linked, right? What's the other possibility?
They aren't.
Shneihem Amru Devar Echad means that here are two machlokot for mnemonic reasons. We're going to tell you that there are two places in which it's relevant to figure out whether something is an old tree or a young, right? An old tree or a young tree, an old fruit or a young fruit. One is Erla, one is Shviit. And in both cases, there's a Shita who says that the standard is more, did you leave more than a Tavach, leave less than a Tavach? And the other Shita is, did you leave anything versus did you leave nothing?
So now we're talking about different cases, but they're saying the same thing?
But, meaning that they like look the same, but these aren't necessarily the same. L'may nafkamina between saying those two possibilities. What's the difference between saying that there's an objective standard that all for all true to trees and plants and fruits, when you cut them less than a tefach, for all intents and purposes, they are a new plant or not, right? Slash, when you cut it to the base.
That would make sense in the modern
sign. What's the upshot of saying that?
That's an objective thing.
And therefore, if you paskin like one, you have to paskin like the other. Right? And then you've got to figure out what's the svara. Is it that fundamentally, right? Is it, how do you understand Marasayan? So one possibility is Marasayan means really Mekaradin, when does something become a new tree or a new plant? When you cut it all the way to the base. Why are we machmir from less than a tefach? Because people might think that you cut it all the way to the base. But really Mekaradin, something is considered the old fruit as long as you left any part of it, but we're machmir the second you get to less than a tefach because of mardai, right? So there's an important nafkamina, which is if you think it's only mardayin, right, but fundamentally something's still the old fruit until you cut it till its base, then you only, what when we say that you're machmir with a tefach, right, less than a tefach, then that's only when it's the chumrah. Right, it's only when it's l'chumrah. Right, you can't use mardai and l'kula. Right, and therefore, in our case, what would that mean? That if you cut a tree to less than a tefach, then what would that mean? Which means?
It means that
it has the chumrah of nitiyot that you need 10, and the chumrah of skeno that you have to stop at the shnei prakin.
Yeah.
Right, if it's mardayin, right, pshuto kimashmao. Right, if it mardayin means mardayin. That means that really it's an old tree. Right? But you have to treat it like a new tree. So therefore you have to take the chumrah of old and new. Right? And the chumrah producing, right? All those chumrah. All the chumrah of skeno.
There's no way it's going to be able to produce 60.
And chanami, right? So you'd have to pile on both chumrah if it's mardayin. What's the other way of mardayin? As we've seen, sometimes mardayin doesn't mean mardayin. What does it mean? That this is defined by how people relate to it. And therefore, Mardayin is the objective standard here, right? That because it seems like a new fruit, it means that halachically it is a new fruit. And therefore, it becomes a nitiya, l'kula, and l'chumra.
It's completely a nitiya.
Right? That it's totally a nitiya.
But we're given the same measurement. So
correct.
So it's not subjective.
Now, according to this shita, right, in this case, it would be objective, right? Mm-hmm. In this case, not all cases. In this case. Now, the nafkamina, that's one question. Right? The second question is, are Erla and Shviit, when the Gemara says Echad, does it necessarily mean that whatever you think is true in Erla is true in Shviit? Or is it just these are parallel cases, but you don't have to necessarily paskin like both? Right? Okay, good. So, if you look at the Rav Fulda, what does the Rav Fulda say? Who read the Rav Fulda?
Which one?
The last one. Divrei Chachamim. Here, look at just the last two lines of the Rav Fulda. What does he say? V'lo mamash davar echad. They're not really the same. Why? So these aren't exactly the same shita. Why not? Because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov thinks it's derabanan, it's marat ayin. And Rav Shimon thinks it's daraita, meaning Rav Shimon thinks that once you cut it to less than a tevach, it is a new plant, bein l'kula, bein l'chubra. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says in the context of Arla, we're machmir. Why are we machmir?
Because
of Marzayan, but they're not really the same position, and therefore, in the case of Shviat, do you accept it bein l'kula, bein l'chumra?
Yeah.
Yes, meaning it's a nitiya, which means you get As long as you have 10, you go all the way to Rosh Hashanah. Right? Right? It's not Chumrah of the Chumrah. Right? That's how he understands it. They're not really the same. Right? Rav Shimon is making a point on a Doraita level. Right? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is making a point on a Drabanan level. Right? Maradayan. No, he's not. Rav Shimon is on our Mishnah on Tosefet Shvi, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is in the context of Arla. Now, others say that no, Davar Echad means it's the same. And some of them go even farther and they say not only is it the same, but whenever we identify two positions and say Davar Echad, we also mean that they're Echad and we don't paskin like it. Davar Echad and they're both, right? And they're both a Shitat Yachid and we paskin against both of them. Okay? What's the problem that everyone has here? Is, as I mentioned to some of you, Ellie, what did I mention? What's the big problem here? Is the sock of? The Rambam. Very good. Very good. So, the Shach in Yeridea, in Reish Tzadik Dalet Lamed Aleph, says, and the Rosh Tzurilio has the same question. If you look at the Rosh Tzurilio, look at him. Look at the end of the Rosh Tzurilio. See it? He says, "Va'tema meharambam shepasak kan gabe tosefet shviyat kereb Shimon, vel gabe arla pasak kerabanan." Right? The Rambam paskins. I see the end of the Rosh Tzurilio. The Rambam says that by arla, what defines it as a new plant? If you cut it, all the way to the ground. And by tosefet shviyat, what does he say? It defines as a netiya, less than a tefach. Right? And the Shach makes it more explicit. Why does he not like the Rambam? Because what does he think? He thinks two points. One is, what does Shnehem Amru Davar Echad mean? That they are identical, and therefore you take both or you leave both. Yeah. Second of all, he has a second problem in the Rambam, which is, he thinks that when you accept, that when it says Shnehem Amru Davar Echad, not only does it mean that they're identical, but they're a shitat yachid, and you should reject both.
Nobody argues,
and therefore you should paskin in both cases. Like, no, that what the Gemara is saying is, don't think this is everybody. It's only a shitat yachid, and therefore paskin against it based on the Tosefta, right? He quotes the Tosefta there, right? So the Shach doesn't like the Rambam for two reasons. One is, you're not allowed to flip the position, right? The second is, I think you paskin's wrong, because you should have paskin that in both cases it goes by cutting it to the ground.
It's not that hard to get out of that question.
Good. So how do you get out of it? So as we already saw,
you say that they're not the same.
Like the Marafolda. Very right. Good. So the first thing you have to do is get out of it.
You still need to get out of the second question.
Hey,
yes, because you don't have
when
to say
you
that's
say
true.
They're different, you don't need to pause
and you
the same
and you don't understand that the words Shnei Amru Davar Echad mean. Correct. And then you'll say, very good. So that's exactly what Chazon Ish says. Chazon Ish says, I'll explain the Rambam to you. First of all, he thinks that Shnei Amru Davar Echad does not mean they said the same thing. It means that they have parallel positions, but not necessarily for the same reason. Therefore, you can split them. Point one. Second of all, now he wants to say, okay, what's the lumdus behind it? Why does the Rambam paskin by Arla one way and by Shemitah the other way? Why does he paskin by Arla like the Chachamim that it's not a new fruit until you cut it to its base? And like Rabbi Shimon, that by Tosefet Shviyat, it's by a tefach.
It's cool on both, right?
So he says as follows. Right? So he gives the following lumdus. He says, listen, there's really two standards here. Right? Because what's the Gemara saying? When the Gemara says they're the same, why would you say they're the same? What's the lumdus behind it? In both cases, what are we looking for? To define this as a new tree or fruit, right? But the Chazon Ish says that's not really true. The Rambam clearly didn't think that. What did he think? By Arla, what's the question?
Marasai.
So again, according to the Chazon Ish, right? He says, why would the Rambam? So this is the Chazon Ish's argument. He says, by Arla, the question is this the old fruit or the new one? Meaning, is this your one of a new fruit, or year four. right? Or 5, or 6, or 10, or whatever it is. What's the question by Shviat?
Counts as...
So let's be careful, right? It's a very sharp point. He says it's not really whether it's a new fruit. That's not really the standard. What's the standard? Does this tree need the work that a netiyah needs to justify working till Rosh Hashanah? And if I take a plant and cut it down such that it now has to regrow all of its things, right? It may be for the purposes of Arla in old fruit, but for the purpose of how much work do I need to put into it,
doesn't need that much.
You know, it needs more, like an atiyah, right? Because what's the whole point of cutting it down so that it, right, starts growing again? So from the vantage point of Urla, the question is this the old plant or not? It has nothing to do with how much work it needs. It's just, what is this, an old plant or new plant? But for the purpose of atiyah, why isn't it, remember we saw, and why would the Rambam say something? The Chazon Ish doesn't explain this, but why would the Rambam say that? Because what do we see throughout this parak? That sometimes you have Netiyah, which is Kiskeina. Kiskeina, which is Netiyah. Right? The real rule isn't Netiyah, Kiskeina. What's the real rule? Right? It's how much work is going to need, and, right, we negotiate. Right? The objective shame here, or how much work it's going to need. Right? That's how the Chazon Ish understands it. Now, the Melechet Shlomo is a different solution. And the Melechet Shlomo says, no, you know what the Rambam thinks? Then me'ikra din, we paskin, according to everybody, that what? When is something defined as a new plant? When it's completely cut. Right? Right, to the ground. Right? But by Urla, we don't worry about Marazayan. And by Shvia, we do worry about Marazayan. Right? That's the Rambam paskins, right? Because the Rambam is worried, right, is machmir, like Rav Shimon, by a tefach. Fine, but that's how we understand the Rambam. Again, one of the things I'm not getting you into, and this is the Kesef Mishnah's problem, is how does the Rambam work with the Tosefta? Okay, I'm going to leave that out for now, but just know that there is a Tosefta here, and part of the problem with the Pesach of the Rambam is how does he negotiate the Tosefta? So what's the Melechet Shlomo? The Melechet Shlomo is the following argument. He says, listen, the reason is as follows. By Arla, he thinks the Rambam isn't worried about Mayer Dayan because it's a one-off chance.
You're not. It's very different.
It's one-off, meaning... Because what? Think about it. How is it going to be Marazayan?
If it happens to have a fruit.
If in 3 years from now, someone happened to see, right? Okay, Josh is my next door neighbor. He sees me growing a plant for 5 years. Okay? So Josh now knows that it's not Arla. And then I cut it down, right? And it regrows. Do you think that I'm violating Arla? No, because you knew the plant was there. Okay? Shlomo isn't my next-door neighbor, and he comes to my house 2 years after I cut the plant and sees me eating a fruit. Is he going to think it's Arla? No! Why would you think it's Arla? You don't know when I planted it. Right?
But when you're actually
plowing. Right? Who's the only person who would really... Right, I'm elaborating a little bit on Mechad Shlomo, but who's the only person who would think... For whom it would be Maradayan. If you happen to be at my house only when I cut it down, and then again, like 2 years from now, right, when I'm eating the fruit, right? That's a very narrow, right, Maradayan, as opposed to the Shviat one.
But anybody sees you working
Nobody, right, once you get past Shavuot, right, the Shnei Prakim, Pesach and Shavuot, no one is working their fields unless. Right, unless they have a nitiyah, right? Meaning, right? It's like, and now you have like several months where you're allowed to work, right? Right, like there's a whole, and therefore he says that it's lechumra, meaning it's only a nitiyah, lechumra. But obviously the Rambam says you can't plant it anymore. But not only cannot plant it, but if you're going to do it, you need 10, right? Because basically what the Rambam is saying, By Shviat, be machmir l'shnei atzadim. Me'ikra then we paskin like we do in Orla. But by Shemitah, we need to be machmir in both directions because of how long this is going and da-da-da-da-da. And that's how we understand the Rambam. Okay? But again, the methodological point that's important to draw out of here is when the Gemara says Shnam Amru Dever Echad, does that automatically mean these are identical conceptually or they're like parallel and like for memory it's important to remember, but maybe they're saying different things. The Marafulda says, not Davar Echad. The Chazon Ish says that's what the Rambam thinks, and right, Orla goes by how do you define this plant, and Shviat is by how much work does this plant need, right? Or Melechet Shlomo, Lechumra, whatever, right? And then there's the Shach and the Rosh Tzurilya who say, no, Davar Echad means Mamash. And then their second point, which is, Davar Echad means that's a Shitas Yochid, let's reject it, right? And therefore they paskin against the Tevach position in both Sugyo, right? Okay. With that, Hadron Oxley Haylan, thank God. Right? We finished the first parak. Shkoyach, guys. Maybe on maybe we'll do a CM when I get back. You know, I'll get...